I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lot of different issues here locally, from the power generating station, smart cities, police detail issues, and the list continues to grow. And the council's been taking a very proactive role in monitoring all of these issues, some of which the mayor says is creating friction that is not needed. I think others would disagree. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, District A, joins us. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Neil.
So, Joe, the other day, let's talk about the power generating station. It's kind of been back and forth. Who is going to fund? Have we got to some resolution yet?
We're almost there. And the reason we're almost there is for what your lead-in was, which is the fact that there are these supply chain issues and the fact that prices could begin to really increase if we didn't bear down and get this done. So right now, there's only one more step left to be done. What we did last week was approve $15 million, which is the first portion of the substation that was left remaining. The second $15 million is due either later this year or early next year, and that money will be in the hands of Sewage and Water Board soon and then in the hands of Energy. The city asked us to approve, and we did, a multi-year cooperative endeavor agreement that's between the city and Sewage and Water Board that sets the parameters for the city giving the $15 million to Sewage and Water Board. And probably the most important thing, I think, to us, in addition to the fact that the money is going to change hands, is that there's going to be monthly reporting requirements of everything that's happening at the substation and then how is it all moving forward. So the money is taken care of. The agreement between the city and Sewage and Water Board is taken care of. The last piece right now is that Energy has to make a utilities filing with the City Council, the Utilities Committee, and that's called an Agreement in Principle, or an AIP. And I have a phone call later this afternoon with Energy and Sewage and Water Board and the administration, because there's just two or three sort of issues that are separating Energy and Sewage and Water Board right now. But my hope is to tie all those up and get that filing done either later this month or early next, so we can all be finished and make sure that the Sewage and Water Board substation remains on track for construction being completed in the latter part of 2023.
Joe, if you could simply remind our listeners the importance of this project and what it means to them.
Yeah, I say this all the time, and it's interesting when you're in a room and you get the reaction. Remember, the turbines are 377 years old combined.
So think again. About
yeah, right, exactly. Yes, that's the reaction that I get, Newell, is when you see people's faces and you're like, hey, do you feel comfortable trusting your drainage and cleaning water to machinery that is combined nearly four centuries? Everybody shakes their head no. And look, you have to just look at it one by one. Turbine 2 has been offline for years. Turbine 3 is offline right now. Turbine 1, they're squeezing some power out of it, and that really leaves turbines 4, 5, and 6 as your power sources along with those diesel engines. So in very short, the substation will be the primary power source for Sewage and Water Board. There will be over 50 megawatts of power that is transmitted to there. And when constructed, will be the single primary source of power, primarily for drainage, also for cleaning water, with the turbines being the backup. And the only way I know how to say it is this is newer, more reliable, cleaner than what we have right now. And, of course, as we're sort of a little bit facetiously saying that, I feel much better about relying on something that is built in 2022 and 2023 as opposed to something that dates back to World War One.
Joe, obviously we need to rid ourselves of these turbines totally, right? And if we get the funding in place and all of this works its way out by the end of the year, do we then move to the backup systems, to this system? You know, because the 400-year number that you throw out there is still a scary number, right? I mean, it doesn't go away.
It doesn't. So there's moving parts to that as well. Remember, through the Fair Share program, there should be also a turbine 7 that comes online when the substation is coming online, whether that's the fourth quarter of 2023 or the first quarter of 2024. So that will be the first new power source aside from the substation at Sioux Water Board since Hurricane Katrina. And then the plan is to phase out either turbine 4 or 5, which are ancient. Turbine 6 is essentially a modern jet engine and is much newer. Turbine 7 will be new. I think at some point, Sioux and Water Board would like something along the lines of a turbine 8 to phase out all of those older pieces of equipment and make sure that we're not running on even one turbine that's older than 30 or 40 years old. So that's what the plan is looking like in the future. And then, Newell, the thing that I think we should all be conscientious about is remember, even under the original plan to fund the substation through energy, which had Sioux and Water Board paying back principal and interest, Sioux and Water Board was still going to save $5 to $7 million a year through the savings and operations and fuel costs. Well, now that's gone away. So that number, that savings, is going to increase every year. Well, good. That means they're going to reinvest in the infrastructure. But are they reinvesting in smart meters? Are they reinvesting in more turbines? Are they reinvesting in more pipes? I think is an open question. The hard part is all of them have very valid arguments about what need to be done. But I think first and foremost, we want to make sure that that power source is as hardened as humanly possible and ensure that with the substation as the primary source and the turbines as a secondary source, we feel very secure going into any rain or hurricane season.
Have we been able to tap any of this $1 trillion infrastructure package? AP reports, I think either yesterday or today, that 6 months after the signing of this bill, they've already funded 4,300 projects with more than $110 billion in funding announced. It seems as though maybe this stuff is moving pretty quick. Are we in that number?
I don't know that we're in it yet. I will say two things. One is Sioux and Water Board has a pretty developed list about what they want to do, and their first priority is really water purification. The water system is not as old as the turbines, but needs upgrading, and also the federal regulations are getting ready to change. And my understanding is the Infrastructure and Jobs Act specifically has money earmarked for a project like that. So that's part one. And then next Friday, if the legislators can do it, they'll be close to wrapping up session, so it may get bumped. The council created a working group of Congressman Carter's office, state legislators, the administration, and ourselves to discuss what we want to do to tap into this money. And the one thing I've heard from federal, state, and other local officials is, A, you want to make sure that your asks are the most salient and important, and B, that you're all on the same wavelength with what's being asked for. You don't want Sewage and Water Board asking for one thing and the port asking for something else and the city asking for a third thing. So how do we make sure we're all aligned about what the most critical needs are? But I've seen Sewage and Water Board's list, and I know that they actually have a plan of action, and so I think the city wants to support specifically the water purification items they're seeking.
Are we confident that we're going to get to a place where we're not competing amongst one another within the confines of city limits for this money?
Well, I think that's
you know as well as I, historically, that's where these things run amok, right? I
mean, And the hard part is you have all of these different entities that aren't quite city related. The port is a part of the city, but is not truly a city asset. Sewage and Water Board is a state agency. You have DPW, which is purely a city agency. You have the airport, which involves a number of municipalities. So I think that's the whole idea of trying to have this IIJA, the Infrastructure Jobs Act working group, is with so many people at the table to hash out, to have a singular plan. Obviously, I haven't seen us work as a group yet and seen what the plan ultimately is, but my hope is that we can speak with one voice as to this is what our desires are, this is what we want to see happen, because I think you're right. If you start splitting off into different groups, and again, both on a common sense level and both being told by state and federal officials that you don't want five or six different actors speaking in different ways, it doesn't help anybody. So I think we need to coalesce around a plan that makes sense for what the most pressing needs are.
Because, I mean, if we speak frankly, right, I mean, because of the neglect that we've had over the past decades relative to financing Sewage and Water Board, this organization will never catch up and get to current standards but for a shot-in-the-arm type of funding like this. And if we're honest with one another, this impacts every single solitary citizen within the confines of the city of New Orleans, right? In a direct way, in a quality of life way, unlike any other project that you could dream up to finance here. Because, you know, the revenue model, as you well know better than anybody, fee-for-service and millages. And the last thing that this city could really stomach is a millage increase at this point in time. You know, it's just one person's opinion and a reminder of how important this defining decision could be.
Yeah, I think it's important for a number of different reasons. The first is, I've heard other people say this, you can either be a noisemaker or a lawmaker, and I can't think of anything more important to the city than this substation project, because it affects all of us, whether you're a resident, whether you're a homeowner, whether you're a business owner. We don't have time to get it wrong, and it's been such a problem for such a long time. And you sort of layer that through the issues of the billing system, excuse me, is inadequate right now, which leads to credibility issues. You have 50% of the water pipes are 80 years or older. We have a lot of problems that we need to address all at one time. So in my mind, the best thing that we can do is take the available FEMA funds that we still have from Katrina. We have the $500 million bond issuance. We have some ARP money, though certainly not enough to solve all of the infrastructure problems in the IIJA as well. And then, Newell, at a certain point, we're going to have the conversation again about a drainage fee or stormwater management fee as opposed to a property tax. The bottom line is everybody pays a sewer and a water fee right now, but only property owners are paying the drainage tax. And so the drainage side, relatively speaking, is chronically underfunded compared to the other two systems. And I think you're right that there's going to be millage fatigue at some point. you're going to see rising
there's
costs.
There's not going to be. There is.
Yeah, well, right. There is. I mean, look, I say going to be because the library millage passed and the early childhood passed, but I think that's there's not a whole lot more millage runway there. And
No, you're right.
Right. And look, other things are going to start increasing. So how do we start deriving more revenue? And then how do you smartly, what you're tapping into, use the federal money that we have to supercharge it to do more significant, maybe even visionary infrastructure projects?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, if you were to ask somebody the following question, what services do you think in the city of New Orleans closely align ourselves with a third world country? I think almost everybody would say sewage and water board. Fair? I mean, you know, I think that's the reaction.
I will answer it with data. 65% of the engagements, so either calls or complaints to my office, are either DPW or sewage and water board related. So think about that. Two-thirds relate to just those essentially two entities, but that they go hand in hand. So and look, Noel, it's a huge reason why I continue to harp on the billing issue as well, is because it's we know that there are infrastructure problems in the city. We know that not everything is going to be tended to as quickly as we would like to have it done. But when you get a bill for $9,000 or whatever the amount is, and A, that bill goes out incorrectly, and then B, it takes you a period of time to fix that bill, it consistently creates frustration. And so I truly believe that as we cheerlead for the substation and push that towards the goal line, the next most important thing is honestly getting the billing system under wraps and fixed to help restore credibility. And then along with that, sewage and water board, DPW, in my view, need to start showing publicly, all right, these are the things we're fixing. This is what happened this weekend. In Lakeview, there was a break this weekend. They were Johnny on the spot and they got on it, but they didn't tell the neighbors that they were fixing it. So I think it's a combination.
And that's going to repeat itself because we're in a drought right now. The water table is shrinking, and when it does, water lines burst.
I tell my staff all the time, whether we like it or not, and as much as I don't want to be the satellite office for DPW or sewage and water board or other agencies, we are. And we've got to be able to tell people what's going on. So it's about fixing those things that we absolutely can. How do you maximize the right? And again, look, I mean, sewage and water board right now has a huge accounts receivable from their billing. Now, you and I have talked about this on the show, off the show.
They got to go get it.
That's right. And as importantly to me, what's the good debt versus what's the bad debt? If it's bad debt, we got to let it go.
Absolutely. But this is not going to be the student loan forgiveness debt either. It can't be.
That's right.
It means too many things to too many people. We'll be right back with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council District A member. Stay with us, folks. Welcome back, folks. We've had some folks that have texted in saying the racetrack on Jeff Highway is out of fuel, so we double-checked. That is not the case. They have fuel. They're having a problem turning the pumps on. It may be an electrical issue or something. We're not sure, but it's not about fuel. They do have fuel, so we'll report back to you as soon as we hear that something's changed. We're visiting with Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, District A. Joe, let's pivot to smart cities. I know you can't talk about the details of the investigation, but where do we go from here? There were some revelations the other day about representations having been made in responses to a Los Angeles RFQ that seemed to be in conflict with...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What the city council was told.
Right. So remember, we spent a few hours asking questions of Jonathan Rhodes, who's the head of the mayor's utilities office, including about the side business that he had, the involvement in it, what it did, what it didn't do, how much money it earned, et cetera. And primarily, Councilmember Moreno and I a little bit asked some questions about this request for information that went out to Los Angeles. And again, the way that we remember this being explained to us is that the work that was done by the side company called Verge was pro bono and providing general consultation and just trying to help Qualcomm as it may be doing other applications in other cities. And according to the public records request that the Times-Picayune got, Verge was part of the group that made the request for information along with Qualcomm to Los Angeles. So that's prompted now a couple of things. First is we had behind the scenes a court reporter who was attending the meeting. I and my colleagues want to see a copy of the transcript. I was sort of laughing this weekend because on social media somebody referred to me as a nerd, and that's definitely the case because you've got to see the wording and the way that we asked the question and the way that it was responded to. So first, how did we ask all the questions?
If you're a nerd, I'm a nerd because I use court reporters extensively in contract negotiations.
The problem, right? And the problem, Newell, is, and particularly as a lawyer, sometimes you get in love with your question, and the answer isn't as good as you thought it was, or you didn't ask it quite the right way, or sometimes you have it completely. So you need that paperwork to tighten things up. So that's number one. So I'm dying to see the transcript. That isn't available yet. Number two is Councilmember Moreno issued a fresh round of subpoenas last week to other people in the administration who were either involved or maybe peripherally involved in the RFP process here. And I think those become due early next week, maybe the 23rd or the 24th. So we need to see all that paperwork. And then separately, the council has put out an RFP for our own investigator to look into all of this because I think two things. One is there's one thing for all of us, lawyers and non-lawyers alike, to dig into the paperwork and to make assessments. But we also have to deal with the land issues and utilities issues and, excuse me, the quality of life issues. So we can't devote all of our time to this. And secondly, it's good to have a third-party eye looking at this. Mm-hmm. We're close to it and we've seen it, but probably having somebody who's an objective third party giving us some advice on what the right course of action is important too.
No, absolutely. Joe, garbage contract. I know that y'all went out for a new one. Bids have come in. Are y'all still in the evaluation period, or have y'all made a decision?
Well, remember the paper reported that the process has been slowed down again. The bids all came in, and this is just for Service Area 2, which is the metro area. And apparently the RFP selection committee is delayed for some reason, but they're supposed to be meeting in the next couple of weeks. I still think, in addition to whoever is ultimately selected, the really big questions are about returning to service twice a week, because so many people are asking about that and making sure that that happens too. So I think it's A, who is or who will be, because it could be more than one, the contractors who are picked in the metro service area. And then what are we doing, as we talked about earlier, about either right-sizing the payment or making sure payment is right to try and maximize collection of those services? Because, look, at the end of the day, the first job, I think, of city government is to provide public safety. And I know everybody thinks of NOPD when I say that, but it's making sure the pumps are turning. It's making sure that trash is being picked up. It's making sure blight is taken care of. And that's part of the whole mix.
Did I read, if memory serves me correct, that the two previous providers are not putting in bids? Is that the case?
That is the case for this area. So Metro did not put in a bid for it, and Richards, which has the most significant part of Service Area 1, did not put in a bid either. And let's see, I always forget who the fourth contractor is, but if I remember correctly, Waste Management, which is National, put in a bid.
Romelli,
River Birch, and Ivy. So those are the four, as reported by the paper, that have put in the bids to see who's going to get the contract ultimately. Or, as I said, it may be a pairing as well. It may be more than one contractor and not just one alone.
Joe, we're heading into the summer months. The first 2 weeks of summer, the last 2 weeks of summer were always the scariest for me as sheriff. I knew that crime was going to hit a peak. It always did statistically. It never failed us. How concerned are you?
Well, it's been on my mind since we've been talking about everything that's been happening and the uptick that's going on. I did see last week that the chief announced, along with Louisiana State Police, that they're going to do something called Operation Golden Eagle. And I'm going to see if I can get their nomenclature correct, that they are doing targeted proactive investigations, which to me sounds a lot like what the Tiger Unit used to do. And if that's the case, good. And I think we've discussed before the fact that NOPD certainly could use the additional resources. So the fact that they're partnering with somebody is important. But I think what you're really getting at is we're reaching a point where school's about ready to get out. I know the administration has raised some salaries for summer jobs this summer, which is good. But how do we make sure that the police department has the resources it needs, and then simultaneously making sure that there's either job opportunities or recreational opportunities for as many kids as possible because of what you just said, the statistic inevitability of what happens. And I think everybody wanting to make sure that we're wrapping our arms around crime and trying to handle it as proactively as possible.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know if you saw the picture of cars out front of the Four Seasons broken into, string of vehicles in Lakeview last evening, I understand, were broken into as well.
Yeah, I've heard about the Four Seasons. There was a shooting not far from my district, right in District D, that's gotten a lot of attention in Chantilly area, where I spoke to the 3rd District Captain, and there are more resources that are being put over there. I think constantly it's about knowing the limited resources that we have, how are we deploying those as best as makes possible sense. And then another question, and I've seen this raised, and I've raised it certainly before, is if you know that there are certain groups, whether kids or adults, who are committing sort of these same crimes over and over again, what are we doing to really use all of our resources to focus on them? Because obviously there's lots of people who aren't committing crime, but if you focus on the ones who are recidivating repeatedly, then I think that's where we ought to be focusing a lot of our efforts too.
Yep. Final thoughts?
I would just say we've got a lot going on. You're the one who led off by saying that we've been proactive. I feel a little bit for my new colleagues who've jumped in with both feet. They're sort of drinking out of the fire hose right now because there's so much going on. But with everything going on from crime to sewage and water board to streets, the smart cities, we're going to continue to keep a vigilant eye on all of it.
Thank you, sir, for your time. We know you're very busy. We certainly appreciate the update on all of these pressing issues. Have a great week.
Same to you, Newell. Take care.
All right, that's Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council, District A. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.